Hi, friends.
Hi, friends.
We're back. It's episode 110 of The Brunch and Judge. What? That was my beautiful dance. You're welcome.
She always says a little jig after she says the number.
I think it's because, like, I'm celebrating that, like, we did it, but then I can't come up with, like, the next thing to say because, like, there isn't anymore.
Right. Yeah, I get it.
Anyway, we are your hosts. I'm April.
And I'm Claire.
And this week we will be diving into Claire's story for our wild card topic. You may recall that last week I destroyed everyone's dreams and sleep by talking about the horrors that is BTK. You're welcome, and also I'm sorry. There's some really great therapists out there. I believe you can find one that will help you sleep again. When you do, send me their number.
Right.
Because now I'm like, is everything locked? Are you sure?
Facts.
So this week, Claire is bringing us the wonderful story of
Jody Arias and Travis Alexander.
Oh, goody. It's another uplifting one. Yay.
Not uplifting, but it's like kind of batshit. That's why I chose it.
And that's why I said uplifting. I'm like, oh, nothing bad happens in this story at all. Everything is so good.
Crazy. Anyway. My sources are Wikipedia, crimemuseum.org, All That's Interesting, and a Hulu documentary thingy that I watched called Jody Arias, An American Murder Mystery.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, on June 9th, 2008, in Mesa, Arizona, Travis Alexander, who is a 30-year-old salesman and motivational speaker for prepaid legal services, which was a, like, MLM...
I'm going to say, what?
Foreman thing.
How do you prepay for legal services? You don't know what you
sketchy.
Need?
It's sketchy. It was Sounds an MLM sketchy. Within the Mormon church.
In of itself is kind of an MLM, so whatever.
Right. Anyway... He had been kind of MIA. His friends hadn't heard of him for 5 days. And he was supposed to be taking this woman friend of his named Mimi Hall on a trip to Cancun, which was through the prepaid legal services. It was like a work trip.
Oh, okay.
It was one of those like convention type things. Sure. They were always doing these big conventions to like Vegas and Cancun and all these fancy places. And...
Oh, it is so like an MLM. Like our,
yeah,
like our
yeah,
Skeletor was... friend who does that.
They're so bad. Yes, who does the Thrive.
And it's always going to those places and like, look what they're sending us now. And I'm like,
yeah.
Do you know how many people you're stealing money from so that you can go to Cancun? But okay. You keep
right,
you.
Or wherever else they go. Yep. But they hadn't heard, his friends hadn't heard him for like 5 days. And they're supposed to be leaving like the next day for Cancun. So Mimi goes over to Travis's house and she's looking around. And so then she calls some other friends and knock on the door, they're looking through the windows. They see Travis's dog. And so then they let themselves in through the garage, the code, and they go up to his bedroom and the door is locked. But what's weird is Travis's roommates are home, but they're in their respective rooms, like listening to music. They've got headphones on and stuff, so they didn't hear the knocking.
Okay,
that kind of thing.
That's terrifying.
So, but one of the roommates had a key to Travis's bedroom. And so they go and
they
open.
lock their bedroom doors?
Yeah, it was like lock.
I had a psychotic roommate that did that and that was weird. So okay, you do.
But he had a key to Travis's bedroom. And so they opened it and they go in and there's like smell. And they start looking around and like bed sheets were like wadded up on the bed and it was just weird. And they get to the bathroom And that's when they find all the bad things. There was blood everywhere, all over the floor, all over the walls, dripping in the sink, and splattered on the mirror, bloody palm prints on the walls. And they find Travis's body in the shower.
Oh, God.
And, yeah. And it had been there for a few days.
That is horrifying. Like,
yeah.
You're just living your life, coming and going, and you have no idea that while you're eating and you're sleeping in your room or listening to music, that in fact your roommate's body is decomposing next door, like just on the other side of a wall. What?
Right. Yeah. What? Like two roommates living in this like house, townhouse kind of thing. And
wow.
The third one is dead in his bedroom. And they didn't think to, which I mean, I guess the door shut and.
Well, right. You think that, you know, they're gone doing something because, you know. But
and that was one thing that the police, they're like, you both were living here. How did you not like the smell? And they're like, well, we're bachelors. We don't like, you know, guys.
we stink.
Yeah. and that's kind of what it was. It was like foul smells are not.
It's like we.
Like, are not concerning to us because it's like, you know, we don't do laundry regularly. We don't, you know,
oh my just God. Like,
we're not doing dishes on the rig.
So you're just
we're
like,
not...
you look at the company, you go, it's obvious you did not ever live in a male dorm because,
right.
You're or walk like, into one ever because you walk in and there's a smell and it never goes away.
So, yeah. And so Travis's friends were shocked and they were devastated
of
by
course,
this news.
Yeah.
Travis was a value member of his Mormon church and people there really liked him. They said really good things about him. The crime scene was pretty messy, but they did have a fair bit of evidence. There was like a long brown hair in the sink. Like I said, there was a palm print in blood on the wall. And the police found a digital camera in the washing machine. And they were like, what is this? Did somebody try to destroy evidence by sticking this in the washing machine? Like,
and
this is bizarre.
No roommates have been doing laundry the last few days? Okay, fine.
Right, right. You're
that's,
just like,
okay.
Yeah. And so as they start, like, interviewing the friends, asking around, several friends kept giving up this one name of who they thought, if anybody was going to do this to Travis, they kept giving up this one name. Was ex-girlfriend of Travis's named Jody Arias. And that was like the common denominator that people were giving the police.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that tells you something right away.
Yeah.
She crazy.
What was weird is that she called the police after this happened, I guess after it got out, and she'd said that some people had texted her to tell her that Travis was dead and that she'd heard some things. And so she almost kind of inserted herself into the investigation and said...
So she didn't watch Dateline. Okay.
No, not at all. And so she was saying things like, I was a really good friend of Travis's. If you need anything, I'll help you however I can. Yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
She even went down to the station at one point and gave, like, exemplary, you know, stuff
right.
to like exclude her DNA, all that stuff. So, but anyway, so I'm going to go back a bit. Travis Alexander was born July 28th, 1977 in Riverside, California. His parents, he had a pretty shitty childhood. His parents were drug addicts and they were pretty physically abusive to Travis and his siblings, and eventually Travis and his siblings were taken over custody by his grandparents, and they moved in with his grandmother, and she was the one who was a pretty devout Mormon, and so she was the one who got them into church, and Travis kind of became entrenched in the Mormon faith, and he even did a mission when he got older.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they have to do their like two-year mission.
2-year mission. Yay.
Yeah. So he even did a mission for the Mormon church. And then he got the job with the PPL, the MLM for the Mormon Church. He was very, they said he was very charismatic. He did very well within this MLM because he had that personality where he could, he was a really good salesman. He was really good at public speaking. And he began giving motivational speeches at some of these conventions, and he began moving up in the company. So he was doing well for himself. Jody Arias was born July 9th, 1980 in, is it Salinas or Salinas?
I think Salinas.
Salinas, California.
But I have, I don't know. I don't really know.
Yeah. She had a pretty normal childhood, decent parents, typical rebellious teenager, you know. She wound up dropping out of Yreka Union High School when she was a junior. She got busted growing pot. And so parents didn't like that too much. But she was raised in like a pretty strict Christian household, so I feel like that led to a lot of like the rebellion. I feel like that leads to a lot of rebellion. So that she felt kind of smothered by all that, and so when she dropped out, she moved out of the house, and she was an aspiring photographer, and she worked a lot of odd jobs until she wound up getting a sales position with PPL, but she was not Mormon. I think it was just
interesting. Okay.
It was a job. And so that's how Jody and Travis wound up meeting each other is they were at a PPL conference in Las Vegas in September 2006. And Travis had this extra ticket to some kind of like dinner at this convention. And his coworkers set him up with her. They were like, she's new to the company. She's really pretty. Mm-hmm. You know, you should take her to dinner. And so they hit it off, had a really good time. And Travis made such an impact on Jody that one night together at this conference that when she got back home to California, that she winds up breaking up with her current boyfriend.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. It was just like, okay. Yeah. So it was like, wow.
Red flags.
And so, yeah. Yeah. And so she and Travis wind up having like this pretty physical relationship, but nothing like super official. And a lot of that was because Jody was not Mormon. Travis was a very devout Mormon in some ways, but not when it came to the whole like sex before marriage.
Well, I mean, we pick and choose. Right. That's fine.
But when he did settle down, he wanted to settle down with somebody who was of the Mormon faith.
Mm-hmm.
And Jody was not that. And so she did wind up eventually converting to Mormonism.
Ew.
For Travis.
Ew. You know, I hate that shit.
I know you do. And Travis was actually the one who sponsored her in like her classes. Apparently you have to have a sponsor to convert to Mormonism.
Ew.
I know nothing about this. No. I don't know. But anyway, he helped her through all the classes. I guess it's kind of like when you do Catholic school, like
convert. In order to do the confirmation, you have to go to classes.
Yeah, I guess it's something like that. And she was actually baptized by Travis into the Mormon faith in November of 2006. So that was super fast. From September, she met him and then was baptized into the Mormon faith in November.
That's
so
insane.
It was
just, like,
right.
Ugh. That's coming from the girl who like dated a guy for 10 seconds and moved across the country with him. But still.
I mean, they were burning hot and fast.
I knew him for a long time before that.
Before you like started dating. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yes. They were burning hot and fast. I mean, seriously, it was like flaming. But Jody and Travis began officially dating in February 2007. But the relationship didn't last. It fizzled out. But she moved to Mesa. She moved because they were doing like long distance. She was still in California. He's in Arizona. She winds up moving to Mesa after they were done, and Travis was not happy about that because it was almost like, What are you doing?
But we broke up. So why are you here? Yeah.
And they were very much like off and on. Mm-hmm. Hot and cold, off and on. All the time. But she did wind up moving back to Wairika and moving in with her grandparents. And even then, they were still like on and off. And they were still sexting, even when Travis was seeing other people. Yeah. Like that was, so it's like she was just kind of, I guess she was kind of like his side piece, I guess. His side chick.
Ugh.
Like he, you know, that's kind of how he treated her.
I mean, I'm gonna go ahead and say that what happened to him is absolutely not okay.
No. Mm-mm.
But also, don't do that. don't treat other people like that. They should not murder you. That's fair. But like, just don't.
No. Travis's friends didn't. I think at first they were kind of impressed with her, but then it was like as it went on,
the red flags. They all were like,
absolutely.
Oh,
especially after the whole like her moving to Mesa and then you know that kind of stuff. And so Travis's friends, they didn't like Jody and said that her relationship with Travis was always kind of volatile and her behavior bordered on, I don't even think you should say bordered, it was obsessive.
Yes.
She slashed his tires.
Oh God.
Yeah, there were times that she'd hacked into his social media. She harassed other women that he dated. And there were times that she would like sneak into his house and sleep on his couch. And it's like you wake up and she'd be there. And I'm just like, what?
No.
That's no.
That's
like,
that's call the cops. That's yes, get a restraining order.
Yeah. And so, like I said, Jody, like after Travis had died, Jody had called the cops, you know, offering to help with the case, claiming to be a close friend of Travis's. You know, she went to the police station, offered samples of her DNA to exclude her. The police were able to retrieve photos off the camera that they found in the washing machine. A lot of those photos were photos of Travis in the shower, and they were time stamped and dated, like obviously right before he passed in the June 4th. So he had been in that shower for 5 days.
Okay, now I'm going back to the roommates because, like, there's boy.
So those 5 days he'd been like MIA, he'd been dead.
He'd
in
been
the
dead
shower.
The entire time in the shower. That smell. That, I mean, that was like so beyond like, boy skanky stink.
But I guess it's because it was like in the bathroom. If the door was shut to the bathroom,
I'm just
and then
saying.
The door was shut to the bedroom. I mean,
but like, I also, if I hadn't seen my roommate in several days,
right,
and couldn't get a hold of my roommate,
but they honestly thought that he had already left for Cancun.
Okay.
They thought that he might have already left and that they just missed him. Is because when those friends came knocking on the door, they're like, he's in Cancun. And they're like, no, he's not. I'm supposed to go with that. Mimi Hall was like, I'm supposed to go with him. And we haven't left yet. Like, it's tomorrow. And that's what the whole thing got started.
Still, but anyway, saying there's something wrong with those boys.
I know, right?
That's
it
all.
Still is just like, what are y'all doing? There were also photos of a naked woman on the camera in very sexual poses. More photos of Travis naked, like on a bed before the shower. And then there was a photo of like a foot next to the bloody body that like somebody had dropped the camera and it had taken a photo when it had fallen. And it was just, they're trying to put all this in context. And what they found out after, you know, looking at everything, Travis had been stabbed 27 times.
Oh my God.
His throat had been slit from like ear to ear. I mean, almost decapitated.
That is a lot. That's a lot. That's
and he had a gunshot wound to the face.
Holy fuck.
Yes.
Like, so, I knew the shower. I knew that it was for lack of a better word, overkill. But like,
right.
I was not prepared for like, oh, not only did I stab him, but I made sure I slit his throat. But also on top of that, I shot him, wait, in the head? Is that right? Shot him?
Yeah, it was. I think I said it was like above his, yeah, like above.
Oh my God.
Right. So the police bring Jody in for questioning, and she's just thinking she's there to help. Like,
I'm
she's
just
not,
here to help. I'm so
like,
helpful.
She's not questioning any of it.
Because she did not watch Dateline. God damn.
No,
people.
And so they're asking about her alibi, which basically was that she had some road trip. She had gone to see another male friend of hers in Utah. And so she told him about her trip and that they're, you know, she was supposed to have gone a certain way and then she gotten lost and then she pulled off the side of the road and slept and then drove on. And so they asked the friend, and I think they said his name was Ryan Burns. She didn't get there until the day after Travis died on the 5th. So they were like, there's like X amount of hours unaccounted for here. You know, you still could have done this. And she's like doubling down and she's like, you know, like, no, this is what I did and this is this. And so then they confront her with like, well, your hair and your DNA and your palm print are here at the scene. She was like, well, of course. Oh, and that's one thing I forgot to tell you. She told them at first that she hadn't seen Travis since like 2008 when they'd broken it. Like when they'd broken up.
Idiot.
And then she's like, well, we'd been sleeping together. And so she's like, yeah, my hair and my DNA is going to be there because we've been sleeping together. And so she's trying to like walk back. She's already been caught in like lies and she's trying to walk back things. And so then they confront her and they're like, but this picture of this naked woman that we found on the camera that was taken right before, because it's timed and date stamped, is you. And she's kind of like, well, it looks like me, but I don't know that that is me.
I mean, I can see why you think that's me. It does look like me, but I don't think that's me.
Right. I mean, it was just one of those things where she was just, you know, kind of like lying through her teeth and just, oh my gosh. But yeah, so it was just all these things together. They were just like, well, we are going to put you under arrest.
Yes.
And of course, she starts getting weepy and she's like, I have no reason to want to hurt Travis. Why would I do this? You know, she's crying on the video. This was, I was watching the Hulu thing. And it was really weird because it's like her, like when he's in there, she's all like weepy. And then she's asking him, she's like, can I have a minute to like clean myself up before you all take my booking photo?
I mean, to be fair, and I know who I am deep down inside.
Well, like, and she even said that. She's like, this is going to show how shallow I am.
But like,
she's like,
can I
have a minute?
100% be like, look, I know this is insane, but I also recognize this is going to be plastered over a lot of shit.
Right.
And like, I get that everybody's going to hate me, but can I at least not look like a decrepit foul creature on top of it? Is all. Can I please just have like some lipstick or something, or like some lip gloss or chapstick or something, just so that like the dryness of my flesh isn't peeling off in my mugshot, right? Like, I get it. Because Spencer gives me crap about it all the time. Because I'm like, well, I got to get ready. And he's like, you're fine. I'm like, I love you. And he's like, don't be condescending. I'm like, it's not condescending. I appreciate like, that you love me and think I'm beautiful, but I have different opinions.
I have different opinions. Well, yes, and she did too. But like, she's all weepy when he's in there, but then when he leaves, it's almost like she turns it off. And then she starts acting really weird because they've got it all on camera. She does like a headstand against the wall. And you're just like, what is happening?
She, like,
and then at one point,
centering herself, is that like, oh.
At one point, she starts singing Oh Holy Night. And you're like,
that's an interesting choice.
I know. You're just like, what is going on? This is very bizarre. And then at one point, over all this, she changes her story. Like after she's been arrested and they've booked her, she changes it that she went to the house to have sex with Travis. But they were attacked by intruders, that they
Oh
were
my
intruders
God.
with ski masks, and she got away and she just
Opted
kept
to
going.
not call anybody or ask for
Yeah,
help at
because she
all.
was too afraid.
Sure.
Like she was
The
terrified.
correct
And
answer
so,
is, yeah, I was there. We had sex and we took pictures and then I left.
And so,
Okay. But then also, I've watched Dateline, so I also know that bare minimum, you have to clean up the crime scene to some degree so that, like, it's not your bloody palm print in the goddamn
Yeah, it was like
mirror. Her bloody
her
idiot.
blood mixed with his
Yeah.
blood on the
Idiot.
palm print in the wall, you
Idiot.
know. And it's like, what did she do? She just tried to like put the sheets in the washing machine with the camera.
And I'm like, take the fucking camera. Like, just take the damn thing with you. Drive
Right,
over
like why
it,
would you
throw
do
it
that?
away in some random garbage can. No one's ever gonna find it again. Like, just,
I
oh
know,
my
it's ridiculous.
God.
It's so ridiculous.
Again, not that I want her to get away with it, but like, I just
I know, but
cannot with just like the level of stupidity. I'm like, why are
I know, like everything
you
about this was so bizarre. It's like, what is happening here? Her trial started on January 2nd, 2013. Prosecution portrayed Jody as this super jealous ex-girlfriend. Their thing was they harped on that this whole thing was premeditated, because they brought in a police officer from Yreka who talked about a robbery that happened at Jody's grandparents' house where their gun went missing, their gun was stolen, and it was the same caliber gun that had shot Travis because they never had the gun.
Convenient.
Yeah, that shot
Idiots.
Travis. So they were saying that,
Idiots. Okay.
So they were like, that was what they were referring, is that she had staged this robbery at her grandparents' house because I think they said it happened like a month or so before.
Oh, that's some real premeditation then.
Yeah, like it was close to, it wasn't like a year or so before. It was close.
Well, but like
So
I guess in my mind I thought this was gonna be like a crime of passion thing and not like just in the like something happened in that moment that set her off. But no, she was ready for it. Okay then.
But they don't have the gun, so they can't say for sure. But that's what they're inferring, is that she had set up this robbery, or staged this robbery to look like, so she could get this gun from her grandparents and
I
go
love
kill
that she
Travis.
was smart enough to get rid of the gun. But that was it. Literally nothing else was she smart enough for.
It's just like, what are you doing? And then the guy from Utah that she went to go see, Ryan Burns, he testified that she had like cuts on her hands when she came to see him, and that she claimed that she got them from working at the restaurant at her job, that somebody had broken glass, and that she had gotten them from cleaning up this broken glass at her job at the restaurant. But during the trial, Jody changed her story yet again,
Of course she did, Kitty.
that yes, she was there. Yes, she and Travis had sex. And yes, she did kill him. But she did something that angered Travis, that she it happened while they were taking they're doing their photo shoot in the bathroom with him in the shower, and she dropped the camera while they were doing it, and apparently it was his camera. And he got irate with her and came at her and was like acting like he was going to choke her. And she ran from him and he's chasing her. And so that's, she goes and gets the gun and they fight over the gun and it goes off. And she's had this whole story about how she didn't even know that it hit him. And which I'm just like, if it hit him in the head, I guess from your story,
to stab him so many times and then slice his throat after that.
Exactly. Like that part's overkill. And that was like, that goes beyond self defense. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I feel like,
You get like a give me. you get to like hit somebody or shoot somebody like once, and then if they keep coming at you, you get to again. But like
at
some point it becomes,
right,
no longer okay.
So the defense, their whole thing was they were basically putting Travis on trial. Their thing was saying that he was very sexually aggressive, that he had violent tendencies. And Jody did get on the stand, and she was on the stand for 18 days.
Good like this, Lord.
This trial lasted 4 months. Okay.
I had completely forgotten that.
Yeah. But she herself was on the stand for 18 days. Both mm-hmm. with, her lawyer and then cross examination. And I'm just like, dear God, I can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm. Lord, can you imagine being the jury and being like, no more? Can we just stop?
Right. Right.
I have a job.
Yes. And she testified that she at one time walked in on Travis masturbating to child porn several times, that he forced her to have sex or anal sex, and she just went along with it to appease him, and she really didn't want to do it. She claimed Travis had hit her and kicked her and one time broken her finger. And this is what was so wild about this trial, is at one point defense played an audio sex tape that she had recorded, I guess, them having basically like phone sex. And it was incredibly explicit. And so they're listening, everybody's sitting there, like her family, his family, the juror, like everybody is sitting there in this courtroom, and she is sitting there. You could tell she's just mortified with her head down mm-hmm. and her, her hair, like I can't even imagine. Like it was cringy for me, just like, I'm like, I cannot believe they are playing this. And like her like getting off and moaning and doing, this was like them just basically sitting there listening to audio porn. But to show like his state of mind, because when she did finally climax, he was like, oh, you sounded like a 12-year-old girl having your first orgasm. Which I'm just like, that's disgusting.
Uh-huh.
That's what he said on the tape. So it was I don't know.
We could have skipped the rest of that tape. We could have just like gone up to him saying that, and that would have been sufficient.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just like stuff that they were saying back and forth. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, why? Why? And even the people who they were interviewing, I guess who were like journalists and stuff who were there listening, they're just like, I'm sitting here listening to this kinky sex tape. Like, what is happening right now? Wow.
Can you? Like it was, I love being the thought of like the court reporter having to like type it up. Heavy moaning, climaxing, heavy breathing.
I mean, seriously, it was just like, I'm watching this and I'm like, I cannot believe that they did this. Like both sides allowed this
the
to happen.
The judge allowed that to happen. Yes. Like, oh my God.
Yes. One psychologist said that she suffered from PTSD. Obviously, another psychologist said she suffered from borderline personality disorder.
I mean, it sounds more like a yes and.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's like all those things, and also she's a sociopath.
I mean, I feel like they both were pretty shitty people. And
yes, he definitely
they were
was
like,
shitty too.
Mm-hmm. Like they were piss and Drano, and them getting together was just not good. And I feel mm-hmm. like, because that's they had even toxic. Said at one point that he even said in some kind of email to one of his friends that he had said that he was a sociopath. Yeah. Because they wanted to put some emails that he had written to his friends into evidence, and the judge would not allow it.
Oh.
And it was just like, but
not
why?
Emails that he sent.
Yeah, yeah.
But their sexting, their sex vocal audio sex tape is fine. Who
right.
the fuck is making these decisions, Claire?
I know. I don't know. I don't know who's making this.
Lord.
But after all that, Jody was convicted of first degree premeditated murder on May 8th, 2013. She did an interview immediately after the verdict with some like podunk TV station that mm-hmm. was not like any, wasn't some national conglomerate.
It wasn't Dateline, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where she says that she wants the death penalty because death would be freedom. And of course that just like took off like, oh my gosh, she like, she wants the death penalty. It was this whole like, and so there she did. She like usurped everything again, like everything that she was doing. Anytime she was mm-hmm. in the news, any interview she ever did, it always was something ridiculous. But after that, you know, at the end when they can all do like their victim impact statements and all right. that, and mm-hmm. then she gets to do a statement.
Right.
In her statement, at the end of it, she holds up this t-shirt that says Survivor. And that she wants to like sell these t-shirts and have all the proceeds go to help domestic abuse victims. And then she asks, and she says she recants and says that she asked for life because of her family. Like she doesn't want to hurt her family. So she recants the whole I want death penalty bullshit. And mm-hmm. so when it goes to sentencing, the jury couldn't agree. 8 of them were for the death penalty and 4 were for life. So that made it a mistrial for the whole fucking thing.
What?
Yeah. And so they had to do the whole trial over.
That makes no sense. Why the fuck?
Yeah. And so the second trial started in 2015. And apparently in Arizona, and I didn't realize this, you only get 2 shots to be able to give somebody the death penalty.
Okay.
So, that's, they were going for the death penalty, like the prosecution. And so, the second trial, the prosecution didn't have to like work as hard to be like, prove that she, because she had already come out and said that she had killed him. Yep. So, there was that. They didn't have to work. They didn't have to go up that hill, you know. So, that had already come out. So, he was mostly with the premeditation, harping on that kind of thing. That one did, so it didn't last as long the second time. But that one came back with a hung jury again on the sentencing part.
Right.
11 for the death penalty and 1 for life. And so, like I said, you can only ask for the death penalty twice for Arizona law. And so this time, instead of having to do the whole thing again, the judge could just sentence her and could have given her 20 years, but didn't, gave her like her natural life without parole. So she was sentenced on April 13th, 2015 to life without parole. And now she is serving in an Arizona state penitentiary for women.
Wow.
And God. That is the story of Jody Arias and Travis Alexander. And the batshit crazy story that this was, because it just kept going and going and going. Because every time you talked to her, her story changed. Every time you said something to her, it was just mm-hmm. more crazy stuff. Just kept. And it was like, you didn't know, because it was like, she could be believable, but you're like, but is she just that good of a liar? Like, I don't know. You know, it was just, it was wild.
I don't actually have words for this, because I'm like,
it's wild.
I remember it happening. I didn't remember that there had been a mistrial and they had to do it all over again.
I didn't either. That I didn't remember there being 2 trials.
Mm-mm. But like I can remember them, you know, figuring out it was her or whatever because of the camera. Because I remember being like, why the fuck didn't you take the camera? Because, like, what the hell is wrong with you?
And they were like, that's your foot. That's your foot. That's your, you know, that's you. That's your naked body mm-hmm. on this camera in between the pictures of his naked body on the bed and then in the shower, you know.
I'm just like,
We found your hair in the sink.
Yeah,
Because
bitch,
she had just
crazy.
dyed, because she had just dyed her, she was blonde, but she had just dyed her hair brown. And they found a long brown hair in the sink. Because at first they weren't thinking about her being, because everybody talked about her being blonde, but then the Ryan Burns guy was like, oh yeah, she just dyed her hair brown. And then they were like, oh.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Just wow. No, it's just I remember it. I remember being like, "Holy fuck!" Because like, what the fuck? But I did not remember all of this. Maybe I never knew all of this. But I'm sitting here going, like, he was garbage. Like, not th again. He did not deserve what happened to him. People don't deserve that. But he was
No.
garbage in how he treated. I'm not saying her, but like women in
Women,
general. And like, that's
Because he would
gross.
like he would just call her slut like in the texting. Like, I mean, they had proof of that. So he,
Yeah.
like, his texts to her were not nice.
No.
So I mean, I do, I mean, even if he didn't hit her per se,
He was
let's just
still
he
emotionally abusive
in
because of how
verbally,
he was treating her.
yeah,
And again, probably not just her. It sounds
right.
like women in general. So, like, ew, gross.
Right.
But then I'm still judging the roommates. I'm sorry, I cannot get over the
Right.
roommates because I'm like, what the hell?
5 days. Five
I as
days.
a defense attorney would be like, roommates did it. Let me show you how the roommates did it. Let me show you how they pinned it on
But
my
I'm the
client because they knew she was nutsy and they wanted to make sure that she went
only
down.
way that I would give them any grace is if they had been like out of town for like a while, you know, and were like completely oblivious,
But
you know.
like,
But if they'd been
neither of them
there,
actually knew when his trip was. Like, oh, he must
right.
just be gone. But also, I pushed back on the one of them had a key at the door things were, but one of them had a key to his like bedroom bathroom combo or whatever. And like, they thought he was gone, they knew he was gone, and they never was like went in. Like, I'm sorry, that's not how people are. People don't do that. People are like, oh, hey, I'm gonna get my thing back, you know? I wonder if he still has my fill in the blank that I lent him, or I wonder
Right,
what his
right.
room looks like, you know?
Right.
Or stupid boy things like, let's go fart in his bed, because boys are gross.
Right,
None of these
right.
things, in a 5 day period, none of these things happen. Like, it's just, it's, I think that they were in on it. All I'm saying. These unnamed roommates.
They had names. I just didn't write them down.
I don't need to know their names. It's better that
Oh,
It's just
anyway,
it's easier to judge and hate.
that's the wild story of Jody and Travis.
That was excellent, Claire. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, there is a factor of that story that's terrifying, and it's just how like someone can become obsessed with you and never leave you alone to the point that you're both toxic to each other and one of you dies. So cool.
Yay.
Yay. Although I will say it is nice is the wrong word. It is evening out. There's a little bit of pleasure, niceness that comes from the fact that it was the girl who killed the guy instead of the other way around. Because usually
Right.
that's how it goes. Not that again,
Right. No, I get what you're saying.
Wow, that was great. That was great. Thank you, Claire.
You're welcome. Oh,
Okay. Well, Claire,
yes.
we come to one of the best times of our show. Claire, what are you judging this week?
Don't know. I don't know what I'm judging. I'm just like, we just did this and I don't have a judge.
I'll judge first. You can contemplate a bit.
Okay, you
Okay,
judge.
so the day that we in which we are recording it is, just in case you guys don't know, today. In our real timeline, it is March the 25th. Now, this is important because today was the deadline that Donald Trump had to come up with $465 million bond to deal with the fact that he's a fucking fraudster piece of shit garbage in New York.
Oh, yeah. I just saw this on the news. Right,
and so, like, I've been having, like, a giddy day because no one was giving him the bond. And I'm like, that's right, because he doesn't actually have any money. It's all a scam. It's all a scam.
Right, right.
And so, like, I'm like, ha, 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 ha. Now, see, he has to pay the bond in order to file the appeal against it. And that was what the issue was. But then the appeals court, fuck these bastard conservatives, goddamn them all, decided, oh, he doesn't have to pay that much. He can just pay $165 million. And that's all for the bond. And he gets to keep running his businesses in the state of New York, even though New York took that away, while it goes through the appeals process. And I'm over here being like, literally no one else would get that. Not one fucking person. And he shouldn't get it because, like, he lied. He doesn't have that money. He doesn't have anyone who in the real world trusts him enough to pay them back to put that bond up for him. So, like,
no,
guys, what the actual... So, like, I am irrationally angry, and I hate him so much, and I'm just like, where's my goddamn cookie day? I need my cookie day. Specific cookie day. I hate him, and I hate the Republican Party because they suck, and I hate all the idiots who just let him slide by on things that are gross, like huge, horrendous things. Because, like, you know what he was doing today? Sitting at a trial as they're doing jury selection for yet another trial unrelated to all of this because he's a piece of human garbage. Ugh. I hate him. I hate him. Okay. So, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Is it?
Everything's fine. It's all on fire, but everything's fine. I did see, however, this will be a fun little, like, lighthearted moment on my TikToks today. I found a lovely TikTok of someone dressed up as Trump, you know, the orange.
Oh, yeah.
The very, very orange. Singing new lyrics to, if you were a 90s kid, you'll notice the J.G. Wentworth 877 cash now. Yeah. And so, like, he was singing, like, new lyrics to it, and I was cracking up because then they would all be like, J.G. Wentworth, 877 cash now.
Those commercials were legit.
So that made me laugh. That was a nice moment. But yes, keep holding out hope for that cookie day. One day. My goal right now in life is just to make sure I live longer than that guy so I can have a cookie. I mean, odds are I will, but, like, you never know.
Right.
But, yeah, so that's my judge. I still hate him. I know you guys were concerned because, like, sometimes I don't say it immediately, but I'm like, no, I still hate him. It's fine.
You're like, I still hate him.
I did, however, get one of those, like, text messages from the Republican Party for some unknown reason.
Ew.
To let me know that Trump is in trouble. And I'm like, this is junk. Like, report junk.
Trump is in trouble. You're like, and so good.
It's like, I don't know why you're texting me. I don't know where you got this
excellent
number.
Excellent.
It's about damn time.
All the exclamation points.
Excellent.
I know, right? You're like, my plan is working.
Finally.
Oh my gosh. Like, come on, guys.
Jeez. Although, today I learned in some random thing that doesn't matter. That what you're supposed to do when someone is garbage and you hate them is you're supposed to write their name on, like, a piece of paper and then stick it in your shoe so that you're always walking on them. It's like a hex kind of a thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm here for this. Let me walk and squish my foot down into some dog poo. You know.
Interesting.
So I'm like, okay.
That's interesting.
So
try that.
I know, right? If nothing else, it makes you feel good.
Right.
So, Claire, what are you going to judge this week?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It's only Monday.
Somehow it is only Monday. That is correct.
It is only Monday. God, it was a long-ass Monday, though. I was just like, why is this taking forever? Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I don't like it. Also, I'm annoyed because it's March Madness. And
That used to be my judge every March for several years until I finally got streaming services, and then it was fine.
Well, it's just people. We go out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, going out to eat to watch the games, and I'm like, but why? Take your ass home.
I'm not sure who they're watching. Well, I guess, I don't know, is Louisville in it?
No.
Well, then who the fuck are they watching? Because Lexington's not in it anymore.
I don't know. But still. It's just like, go away.
Yeah, you know how I feel about that. I hate March Madness. I hate basketball as a general rule, so stupid. Right.
I know how you feel. No, it's just, like this time of year when you try to go out to eat, it's just like, gosh. Why are you all going out to watch these ball games? Mm-hmm. Go home.
Yeah, I'd rather be home. Although maybe they have children or something. Then I wouldn't want to be home.
Then I wouldn't want to be home.
Jeez. There's a trend on TikTok of, you know, what's one thing that most people have in their homes that you will never have in your home? And a lot of things are like, I don't, like, tissue box covers where you put, like, is the separate thing that goes over. Like, my mom has those. I used to have one. I thought that was a thing people did, but then I realized it was just my mother who did that, so I don't do that anymore. But my favorite one was someone goes, I'm gonna have to go with kids. Is it?
Facts. Or it's like, name the one thing that costs money, it's a trap or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, children, yep, they're a trap.
What's something trap? That's a scam that no one knows or that people don't think that's is it. A scam? Yeah. And you're like, kids.
Kids, yep.
Kids, they're a scam.
They are. It's a scam. Indeed. I don't know what I'm judging. No, really. It's only Monday. This week is too early for me to judge anything. Nothing dramatic has happened since the last time we recorded. So
so the judge is, Claire has no real judge, but also hates Donald Trump. So
true.
That's fine.
I like April. I'm like, need a cookie day.
I just feel like it's not asking for too much. It's just not. But
oh, anyway. I could judge this. I had a guy come into my job. He wants like 20 signs, and they all have like a multitude of scripture on each sign.
Blech.
And I'm tired of typing out Jesus-y scripture. But he came in today, and he brought us an Easter basket.
Aww.
With multitudes of chocolates. But then stuff in this Easter basket are devotionals.
And you're like, wrong audience.
I know. Just like,
you recycle, right? It's fine.
I know. I'm just like, oh, dude. He's a nice person.
I mean,
but
the chocolate cancels out the devotionals, I think, because
I mean, I'm here for the Reese's eggs
mm-hmm.
that are in that basket. I'm here for that.
I love those.
There are several chocolate bunnies.
Mm-hmm.
Not really here for those cotton candy peeps.
Ew. That sounds horrible.
Right. Yeah, I'm like, no. No. No, thank you. But yeah, I'm kind of here for those Reese's eggs. Yeah, I will eat those. So yeah, he did bring us an Easter basket, so I will judge him because he brought us chocolate.
That's right. So moral of the story is, if you're going to force someone to have to deal with your religious beliefs for some work-related reason, because, you know, we don't proselytize here. We do not encourage that. But, like, he went to a sign shop. He paid for a service. That's fine. But he knew that maybe, like, they had to do a lot. So let me just have a nod of thank you. Now, maybe I'll push my religious crap so that they could choose what kind of they want to. but there's chocolate, so it's fine.
That's right, yeah. We did get an Easter basket with chocolate bunnies.
Because I argue I might actually listen to the insane people who come knock on my door and try to sell me a new religion if they brought lots of good chocolate with them.
Right.
I mean, I might at least answer the door.
That's right, yeah.
Well, excellent, Claire. I guess that means it must be time for Tarot Time with April. A spooky, spooky. So here we go. I charged my crystal in the light of the full moon. You're welcome.
Ooh.
Ooh. All right. What shall we ask the cards this week, Claire? Have any thoughts, any feels, any desires for the cards to tell you?
To ask about a cookie day.
Will we have a cookie day soon? What so saith the cards? Because cards know that only certain people are on the cookie day list.
Right.
there's a lot of no touchies. Don't be touching my Dick Van Dyke. Do you understand, universe? I know he's like 98, but like, I still need him. So like, stop.
Dolly Parton's on
the Two of Cups. The Seven of Pentacles. And the Two of Wands. Well, aren't we just very low-key this week for our question? It's like, all right, so cookie day is a very low-key affair. That's not really been my experience, but who am I? Okay. Two of Cups. Oh, right, this is the bestie card. The partnership card. So, like, we together are going to celebrate our cookie day, right? Right? Okay. And then we're going to have the Seven of Pentacles. And this is the little red hen, all the hard work. And waiting for that work to become something tangible. Oh, my God. Claire, are we causing a cookie day? Are we waiting? Okay. Hard work. Hard work. For a cookie day, and we're gonna end here with our two of wands. Let's see. The man is looking out into the world. It looks as if he's longing for adventure. Why then has he bolted his walking sticks to the wall of his castle? Okay. He wouldn't be looking out in the world if he were content with his own kingdom. He wouldn't have the globe if he didn't wonder what it contained. I think this card represents hesitation. Sometimes you actually do have to look before you leap. So, our bestie partnership, preparing, doing all the work for our cookie day, getting ready for it, and we just have to wait for that idiot to not look before he leaps. So, cool. It will happen. Like, he doesn't ever look.
I can dig that interpretation.
I mean, why the heck not? It's my tarot reading. I can say whatever I want. All right. What will be our topic for next week, Claire? What do you think? Are you ready?
It's something we haven't done in a minute.
Well, you know that we won't have that now because you asked for it.
We have not had that.
We have not had a spooky spooky. We had paranormal, but that's not quite the same. So spooky spooky. Things that make you go, ooh. Like that. All right, then. Excellent, excellent. Well, that was another fun time hanging with the brunch and judge. Talking about serial killers and killers and nutty people and people who, again, did not watch Dateline. So right, many valuable lessons can be gleaned from just like a weekend of Dateline marathon. Like, it's not even that hard, guys. Just try. But anyway, until next time, you can find us in all the things and at all the places at
Brunch and Judge.
Please follow, like, comment, subscribe, and you can send us more story or more topics for our wheel or any stories you'd like for us to cover to us at
brunchandjudge@gmail.com.
So until next time, keep on brunching.
And keep on judging.
And like, seriously, watch a Dateline episode.
Bye. Yeah. Bye.